Welcome to Conversations Around Conversations about the conversations we just had on the Clubhouse app earlier today. I am Jess Ryan, CEO and co-founder of Broadway Unlocked.
And hey, I'm Joe White, co-founder of Broadway Unlocked. And this is Tech Theater, Clubhouse Conversations, back from the fray. Every week on Clubhouse, Tuesdays, 12:55 Eastern, if you want to come join us, we have amazing conversations with brilliant people who sit at the intersection of technology and theater.
We always walk away from these Clubhouse talks with so many thoughts, as you all know if you've been listening. So we decided to share those in a podcast and spend a little more time with our friends and collaborators. So with that, welcome to Tech Theater Tuesday. This week on Clubhouse, we talked about Amazon One, which is a piece of tech that scans the lines and veins in your hand and can, in theory, replace digital tickets or payment methods. Yikes. They just implemented it at the very famous Red Rocks Amphitheater in Colorado. We also talked about the Snapchat lens that just launched that's teaching people ASL and how ASL is being used in more and more performances, including at Deaf West and Deaf Broadway and Broadway Signs ASL. And more broadly, what came out of these two conversations is that we had a lot of people on stage this week, and we spoke about changes in how people are engaging with theater across the country, especially regional and community theaters. That was also inspired by a really interesting article comparing theatrical spaces to parks. Joe, where are we going on the podcast today? I love it. By the way, I'm like Lucy in Clubhouse. I'm like, Lucy, what are we talking about? Podcast. Joe, what are we talking about? No pressure. I don't have to do shit.
So lazy.
I'm so lazy.
So lazy. It's ridiculous. I would love to stick on, or sorry, I guess come back around to Amazon One.
Oh, yeah?
I feel like I had a bit of a hot take near the end of Clubhouse where I was just like, people are all up in arms about data and privacy, but actually have no fucking idea what they're talking about.
That
it's
kind
of performative.
Pretty aggressive.
And I was just like, moving on.
Actually, can I ask you a quick question on that?
Hit me.
Why didn't you push that point?
Because I realized I didn't know exactly what I wanted to say.
Oh, that's a good reason. Okay.
I was like, I don't actually know what I fully think here. I still don't really know, but I feel more comfortable here on the podcast. Okay. I feel like with Amazon One, which like ties into how I don't fully know what I feel about giving our data via our faces, our thumbprints, our veins in our hands. I feel like I don't fully get why Amazon cares about this. Like why? Because like these feel like they're fairly expensive pieces of technology. The adoption is going to be difficult, but somewhere inside of Amazon, someone is like, this is worth it. And it's worth it because, meh. And like there is something there. And it feels like a big secret mystery, like Mr. Burns diabolical plan level thing. And I'm just like, I just want to know what that is. I was reading on the internet and trying to like parse through and dig up and see if I could find anything. Couldn't find anything.
I mean, it's what I said on Clubhouse. They're going to get your blood type and like all this shit that's going to tell you what kind of food you need to eat so that you start getting more targeted things from Whole Foods. Seems like a very expensive gambit.
Yeah. And also I'm like, cool. Like, let me know I'm iron deficient. Like, help me be.
By going to a Mumford & Sons concert at Red Rocks. That's a weird company right there.
Yeah, that is pretty strange. But I do feel like the idea that there will be sort of like biometric scanning or other sorts of our individual identities boiled down to our DNA in some way that uses us or allows us to transact, like, is an inevitability. Like, it's already kind of happening with face scanning on our iPhones. That's a fairly private experience, you know, like that information isn't being shared per se by Apple with anyone else. I don't actually know that for a fact, but I'm pretty sure that's true.
Mm-hmm.
But like, then you think of how like the Chinese government has sort of like a very large surveillance network, mm-hmm. and there is lots of facial recognition going on and lots of, you know, cool, fun, interesting, important art projects that scramble those face scanners.
Totally.
And sort of as a reactionary. But like, I think we're trending that direction, like that we are all going to be a little less private and a little more publicly tracked and known. And like, it's gonna happen. And so I'm like, okay, what is the best version of that? And like, what is the version of that we're gonna fight for? Versus being sort of like head in the sand, this is bad, icky, mm-hmm. I don't like it. Mm-hmm. Which is what a little bit of that conversation today on Clubhouse felt like to me, which is, I think, what led me down the path of being like, this is like performative fear or whatever. It's not performative because it's real, they feel it. But that, like, it's already happening with, like, our data on the internet. Like, we can already be targeted, like, six ways to Sunday. Is that a saying? Did I just make that up?
Yeah.
Nailed it. Like, so it's already happening. It's already really, really there. But all of that stuff is really complicated and hard to understand. And therefore, we aren't up in arms about it. Like, it hasn't been distilled into a really clean story that makes us feel angry, such that we're now yelling about it on Clubhouse. Mm-hmm. Whereas this, like, biometric scanner is, like, really tangible. It's my hand. It's the weird veins in my hand. And it's something I get. I'm looking at my hand for anyone who cares. So it makes it easier for me to get
very
mad
veiny,
about it.
Just so we're clear.
So it's just like, it's easier for me to be mad about that because it's more tangible. And I'm like, great, okay, like, people are paying attention, we're more aware of it, we're getting up in arms, like, where's that energy going? Because if it's just, I want to stick my head in the sand and screw Amazon for being a big bad company, and it's like, this is already happening, like, the train has left the station. Yeah. Like, how are we, you know, engineering a mutiny to take it over? Like, not are we jumping off the back.
Can I offer or introduce one more piece of framing for this conversation, which is, so we had a meeting with someone this week who said to us about their company, we're really not trying to be the company that does all the things in this space. We're trying to do this one thing really well. And when he said that, I was like, oh, in my head, like, who knows what Altogether Now will become. But like, in that moment, I definitely was like, I want Altogether Now to be the company that does everything in the space, like the Amazon or the Google of like live digital. Like, I don't know that that's what it'll become, but like, I think I'd be lying if I didn't say like, that's what I want. Mm-hmm. So I want to I think I had not just like fully really admitted that to myself until he said this to us. And I was like, oh, that's so interesting, because I absolutely want us to eat everything. You know, like, I want to own them, this company that we were talking to. And, you know, all like, that's what I want.
Ooh, you heard it here first.
Yeah. So anyway, that's like the additional, like, I think interesting framework for this line of inquiry is like, what a good reason to ask these questions too, right? Because I think it ultimately asks, like, what is Amazon contributing when they start branching into each of these vertical, these weird fucking verticals where you're like, I don't even know what they're doing over here, you know, in this yard, because that could be us someday.
Yeah. So you want to be a force, and you want to be a force for good.
Yes. But like, definitely the kind of force that Amazon is, where like, all of a sudden you're like, why is Altogether Now branching into this weird thing? Because I want our company to be the Amazon of the live digital space, right?
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wrench thrown. Or I guess layer added.
Layer added, I think.
Yeah. Tides risen.
No, it's just like an extra layer. It's like same questions probably are about to be asked, right? Or to talk. But like, I think there's like an additional processing, you know what I mean? Layer on there for me anyway.
Yeah. I mean, so like with these large companies, you know, of which Altogether Now will be one, and it will own lots of other companies, be branching into spaces to, you know, create connective tissue between all those companies and all the cool things that our users are going to want to do with us. So like, that's like an entity, like a business entity, a corporation, like very powerful things inside of our society, inside of our culture, inside of our governmental system. And then like, other entity we have is like the actual government and our voting power and things like that. And which levers are we using or playing with to create that best version of a future where like biometric scanning and or like the lack of privacy that comes with everything being tracked and traced everywhere all the time. And I feel like there's like the corporate version, which is just like straight profit incentivized, right? Like these Amazon scanners will in theory increase like the stickiness of an Amazon consumer. Oh, it's really easy to just use my hand. Great. I'm going to keep doing that. Scanning my hand with Amazon, them owning some piece of my like identity to serve me ads and sell me things. Like, it's a little dystopian, but it's not like the, you know, government putting us in, rounding us up and putting us in things. But like, the other side of that is like, can we just make it illegal for corporations to own any bit of biometric data? Like, we can't even elect to give it to them. They can't even passively or actively like collect it from us.
And that would be in service of not opening the gates to the slippery slope where the government can then start doing that too?
Yeah. It's sort of like, which thing has the power that we as individuals can like affect. So thinking back to like, we had this conversation on Clubhouse, everyone kind of being a little up in arms, but it's like, okay, what can we actually do? And it's like, we could try and pass a law that says like, this is illegal. No, probably not going to happen.
Right.
And probably, you know, just wouldn't be in our best interest long term anyway. Because what are all like the potential good things that come with us? Yeah. Having our biometric data somehow accessible by corporations. And maybe it is like it's a healthcare company that has some bit of my information and knows my blood type in a way that I will benefit from in a hospital sometime down the future, mm-hmm. or proactive sort of preventative medicine, things like that. And I'm like, oh, like those seem like good use cases and like they're not Amazon, or maybe that's the direction Amazon's going. Mm-hmm. I have no idea. But like I'm so hesitant or reticent to be like, that's new and kind of scary and therefore bad, and therefore let's make it illegal. Let's mm-hmm. restrict it entirely.
Well, I definitely like, I think the way you just framed all that up is a really good distillation of why I really appreciated the direction that Anand went immediately with it, which is like, is it useful? Like, does it help? Because if I don't know. I don't know the answer to the question that you're asking. And it's all so complicated and slippery. So like sometimes to me, the only thing that feels like within our control is like, do I get something out of it? Is this a two-way street? You know what I mean? It's like my phone is until coronavirus happened and there were masks. It's a lot. It's like faster and you get less dirty to get into your phone. You know what I mean?
Oh, if it uses the face.
Yeah, with the facial scanner or whatever. Mm-hmm. I really appreciate that. Like it's a two-way street. And to his point about the scanner at Red Rocks, like at least for the moment, you know, does this actually contribute anything on the user side at all?
And well, I want to take a stance there too. But sorry, you were.
Oh, I was just going to acknowledge, but I did want to acknowledge that I think Lucy brought up some really good food for thought on, you know, in answer to that question in terms of a future world where, what did you say? I think Lucy, that future world where like you don't even have to bring your phone, or you could just be present for a concert, you know, because.
Yeah, just not requiring your personal technology to be part of your theatrical experience, like being able to show up to the theater without that is kind of a future that is nice to me.
Yeah.
In theory.
I liked that sort of pushback on it. But anyway, that all being said, yeah.
I like that as well. And I do, just so it's out there and on the record and I can be held accountable for it, I think that the current ticketing system using your phone is so clunky and horrible.
Oh, yeah.
The like moment where you're standing there at the front of the line and you're trying to open your phone and or get to like your wallet or that QR code that doesn't scan because the brightness on your screen is too low, or maybe your screen is cracked because you're that type of person.
Rude.
Shots fired. It's a terrible experience. It's really bad. And we all tolerate it because it's better than, I don't own a printer. I can't print a thing.
On top of, by the way, now also having to pull your vaccine card out and your ID.
Yeah. All the things. I need more hands. I've always wanted a tail, so maybe that would solve the problem. So I actually do think it's a bad experience. And if I could just walk up and something has already scanned my face and identified me and is like, yeah, you're good. Just go on in. Or as, you know, cumbersome as putting my hand over a little biometric scanner and being like, boop, I'm in. Like, it actually does feel significantly better if it is super clean and fluid, and we all have a better understanding of what does it mean by giving up this data, and do I feel comfortable with that.
Can I actually ask you another question that came up in this conversation? I'm curious your opinion about what I was saying in Clubhouse, that like 90% of my brain is always like, why are we so behind in the theater with all of the tools that can help grow an industry, right? Because I just believe fundamentally that it's so important. Art is so important to culture, economies, like the whole nine yards, right? And we just are just constantly non-incentivized somehow in theater everywhere, regionally, commercially, to like be cutting edge at anything. And something about this conversation today with the Amazon thing jogged my brain, where I was like, oh, right. Like there's the Amazons of the world whose business model is to become the giant that owns everything across the e-commerce space, right? Is going to move into weirdo verticals and take risks on like hand scanners. Yeah, Red Rocks. You know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. that's literally how the company's built up. But in the theater, we are inherently like an industry that's not interested in anything outside the theater. So I was saying in Clubhouse, it's like maybe the max you're doing as like a theater, big theater corporation is real estate and ticketing, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's it. And so there was something about that where I was like, oh, that's why that's got to be a part of why we're so behind. And I just understood it in a new way. And so then I was thinking, like, do we ever have a shot in the theater of, like, will there ever be the Amazon of theater? I mean, maybe that's all together now. I don't know. But, like, I had a little, like, loss of faith, I think, really is what I'm getting at. Like, that there is not really structure or incentivization to bring innovation successfully into the theater, because our model's not set up to be, we have no Amazons of the theater, basically.
Mm-hmm. I guess, like, the closest thing would be the theater houses, those sort of five families that own everything.
Right.
And they're like, yeah, we don't
real estate ticketing. That's
crap
it.
About yeah. Innovation and inclusion.
Some
of
technology
other audiences.
They're kind of dipping into technology verticals, kind of, but yeah.
I guess that leaves us with the bottom-up strategy of sort of like inventing a new version of theater that is technologically driven and inclusive and building and building and building and building and pushing our way into the traditional theater world. Because much like Amazon, they started in books.
That's true.
Right? And books, because they were high margin and highly trackable and a thing that you could do on the internet at the time. And then it was adding incrementally and adding incrementally and adding incrementally until now they own the world and the veins in my hand.
Weird.
Which, actually, full disclosure, haven't done that. Probably will.
The hand thing?
Yeah, I'm curious. And $10, what a good deal.
Oh, yeah. If you haven't seen this article yet, they're paying you a whole $10 to sign up.
To sign over your DNA.
Like, fuck off. I would have done it until that. Now
you would
I
have done it for free and now
100%. I'm so offended. Get fuck out of here.
I wonder, though. So I think about TSA PreCheck and what's that other one that's like Global Entry.
And Clear, which is related.
Yeah, all those, like, I think those systems are awesome. They make my life very easy as an individual.
Yeah.
Like, I get to get on the short line. I don't have to take off my shoes. But it required me to have a level of access and to be able to pay for it and to even know that the program exists, to basically, like, buy my way into preferential status. And this is, like, a very clunky system. Like, it's kind of annoying to get these things. You have to, like, go to a place and get your fingerprint scanned, whatever. And I feel like there actually are a lot of people who can't get into it for whatever reason. If they have a criminal background of any sort, you know, maybe even just like a simple, silly thing in high school where they got arrested, whatever. Like, all these things can, like, exclude you from these programs, TSA PreCheck, et cetera.
Right.
But that's, like, a very regimented, human-driven process right now.
Yep.
And, like, imagine now extrapolating that bias that excludes people from that system, just accelerated via technology and algorithms,
which is, like, Clear, I think, right? Like, yeah. Clear is that exact thing. It's the evolution where it's just, like, fucking expensive. You bypass all the background checks and everything, right?
Yeah. And so into the world where it's like, oh, we now know your blood type and we have an understanding of the fact that these various factors that are specific to you and people like you are more likely to lead you to have, you know, this genetic disease or this some health complication, and therefore it impacts your healthcare premiums or something like that. And so it's going to be like a catalyzed sort of bias driven segmentation of people into groups, that there will be sort of people who benefit and probably people who, like, lose as a result of it. If it does, like, go all the way to, you know, Amazon or some company owning all of our biometric information. That, like, it can't not. There's bias inherently built into our society. So therefore, anything that functions or reflects our society will include, and probably in this case, amplify those biases.
Right.
So that's, like, when I take the opposite side of this and I'm like, no technology, all paper tickets. You have to be related to the person who invited you to the show.
It's like rent-controlled apartments.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So I can't wait to be owned by Amazon and live in a country that is just operated by Amazon, you know, sovereign Amazon territory. That's my prediction in the next 50 years. You heard it here, that there are going to be, what's the term? Corpocracy, I think.
Yeah, but our fiefdom, our village altogether now might attack the walls, the moat.
Well, that sounds kind of fun.
Fiefdoms? Oh, God. All right.
Sugar snaps. Sorry, John. Thanks, John.
So we just got a knock on the door and we're totally late to a meeting because this has been such an interesting conversation.
I'm only sorry that I don't get to continue on this path of an Amazon sovereign territory that terrifies me.
Fiefdoms.
Yeah, fiefdom's cute.
I think it was not cute. Like, I think fiefdoms were bad, right?
Definitely bad, but the word is so cute.
The word is great.
It's
okay, the episode is called Fiefdoms Are Cute.
Absolutely not.
Yes, absolutely.
We would love to hear what you think about fiefdoms, whether or not they're cute. We want you to help keep these conversations going. And I know that chain continues now with you. Tweet at us at BWI Unlocked and use that hashtag TechTheaterCH to share your thoughts and tell me if I'm right or if I'm terrible. I don't know. Let's go.
And then, of course, join our next conversation Tuesday at 12:55 Eastern on Clubhouse, the Clubhouse app. It's an incredible group of people, really good conversations. And we'd love for you to raise your hand, jump in and share your thoughts.
Yeah, come hang out. And if you'd like to join the Broadway Unlocked family, you can actually host a show in our club. So visit broadwayunlocked.com/ch. You can pitch your idea and we'll get you spun up and going.
Because every single topic we've talked about has been inspired by the articles we read and the people who join our stage. And till next week, talk to you on the socials and hope you enjoyed this episode. Bye, y'all.
Bye, everyone.